Numbers chapter 12, please. Numbers chapter 12. Tonight's teaching title, I made it as Jealousy, Pride, and Judgment. It can be root of the quarrel, divorce, even domestic violence within the marriage. It can happen in the workplace, school, or home, among the siblings, and anywhere, anytime, to anyone. I'm talking about jealousy. Grant that our God is a jealous God. He said in the Bible. Does it mean that God has a tantrum with the typical human jealousy? No, He absolutely not, does not have that. Rather, he does not share our love with anyone, anything, or any idol, for that matter. But it is not because He is an insecure God. Like when we have a jealousy, some people just jealous for everything, and show that they are insecure. But God is not an insecure God. Rather, He knows that what would happen at the end if we continue in our own dumb adventure, if you will. So he wants us to protect us. God is not, listen, God is not jealous of us. Rather, He is jealous for us. There's a clear distinction. He is jealous for us, for our safety, and for our eternal future. God's jealousy is love in action. Did you get that? God's jealousy is His love in action for us. But when it comes to human jealousy, it can turn into nasty drama.
Right.
You agree?
Yes.
False accusations, endless envy, and deeply rooted pride. Don't forget pride in jealousy. Selfish drive to get what the person wants at any cost and all cost. Pride is the one of the root reason of jealousy. I didn't put it in your note, but you might want to jot it down. Pride is the one of the root reason, main reason for jealousy. Because Satan is alive and busy, and he really knows what he's doing, and he uses human nature of jealousy to stand against holy will of God. Go to Galatians 5:16 and 17, please. Apostle Paul speaking. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh, for the lust of flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Similar content is recorded in Romans chapter 7. Remember, Apostle Paul honestly admitting, I do things that I don't want to do, I don't want to, the things that I don't want to do, that I do. And he said, what does he say? What a wretched sinner that I am. You know, it's kind of refreshing that spiritual giant Apostle Paul admits that. To us, there's a comfort. And sometimes, do you ever feel that, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell? Of course we all deserve hell. We don't need God's mercy. But He chooses to extend His mercy to us. Moses and Aaron and Miriam are the team that sent by God to help to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He used Miriam to save his younger brother Moses from the onslaught of the Jewish babies, especially boy babies. And she was a prophetess who led the Israeli woman, Jewish woman, in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, right after they crossed the Red Sea, the one before. And after that, she's the one who initiated praise songs and worship songs to the Lord. Aaron, he's the oldest of the three. And he was he became a God, Moses' mouthpiece, who was the mouthpiece of God. And he was a dynamic duo sent by God to Pharaoh of Egypt. And he was the first high priest of Israel. Everybody in Israel knew that Moses, Aaron, and Miriam was the God's chosen servant, and everybody knew that Moses was the main leader. So you can say that they were like Miriam and Aaron, they're like a step of Moses. And but that idea came to screeching halt when Miriam and Aaron decided that they wanted some popularity as well, because of jealousy, because of pride. Without the pride, jealousy cannot arouse. They want to get the popularity, they want to get that authority as like Moses have, so they want equal opportunity. And they wanted to do some, if you will, then they say, you will say the coup, the revolt. And they want to be as important as Moses in the eyes of people. They didn't think about one thing in the eyes of God. So they're infecting the whole camp. So you can say that it's a staph infection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all of us are guilty of pride. All of us are guilty of jealousy. Some of us are more than others. Sometimes we have more than other times. It is so, you are so gracious not to extend the same kind of judgment you extended to Miriam. Your mercy endures every morning. As the sun rises, your mercy is renewed. And you say, it is a brand new day, you will start again. And if we come to you and with a truly repentant heart, and you are faithful to forgive us from all our sins and renew our heart. Father, let us learn from Miriam's and Aaron's fault, not mistake, fault, and we may not repeat the same thing. Instead of jealousy, let us be the one extending love of Jesus Christ. Instead of pride, let us be the one who is extending humility of Jesus Christ, because we learn from you through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoke only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Three pieces of evidence that this was led by the Miriam was the leader of this family rebellion. Number one, verse 1 says that she was mentioned first in verse 1. And number 2, the words Miriam and Aaron spoke is a feminine verb. Like a German, you guys speak German and French and even Spanish, there is a difference between the male and female verbs. In this case, Hebrew verb is a female verb, though, so it pointing to the Miriam as the instigator. Thirdly, Miriam alone was disciplined by the Lord. Miriam didn't get her assaulted by the accusing that Moses received undeserving authority from God. But her face value was, he married to the Ethiopian woman. So what? God did not say don't marry to Ethiopian woman. Rather, he specifically told them don't marry women from Canaan, land of Canaan. Now, most people who accuse God's servant rarely give a real good reason for their disagreement. I myself was the receiving end of the petty and personal attack rather than any heresies I might have taught in the last 11 years. By the way, I have not taught any heresies so far. If I, so far, I said, if I taught any heresies, Pastor Jack Leverty would not leave me alone. So I can guarantee you that. Please remember that Moses lived 120 years, first 40 years as a prince of Egypt, and 40 years as a shepherd in Midian desert, and 40 years, last 40 years as the shepherd, chief shepherd of the Israel nation, traveling in the wilderness. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if he outlived his first wife, Zipporah, who was the daughter of Jethro from Midian. In scripture, the Cush, or Cush, however you want to pronounce, I believe it's a Cush, usually referred to people lived near Egypt. But the King James wrongly translate the Hebrew word Cush to the Ethiopian. So naturally, the New King James also repeated the same thing. Why the King James and New King James translated Ethiopian? Because they are influenced by the Latin Vulgate. That's their version of the Bible. In verse 2, Miriam finally reveals the true reason for revolt. We find out she said was Moses the only spokesperson of God, followed by, did Miriam and Aaron also had a right to declare God's word? In questioning Moses' authority and God's will, Miriam and Aaron were acting just like the rest of the people in Israel. Very shallow. However, Moses didn't notice this. There is not one answer, one reply from Moses. He left all of his vindication and defense in the hands of God. He just kept his mouth shut. Do you know how difficult that is? Because we want to defend ourselves. Whenever I kept my mouth shut, did not do anything, God vindicated me. When I opened my big mouth and tried to do it, I just made a more mess than ever before. Challenging God's authority and authenticity of His word was the first deception from the Satan to the first mankind, Adam and Eve. What am I talking about? Keep your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 3, please. She's from Cush. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, that's the devil, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? What did God say originally? You shall eat every tree, the fruit of every tree except one. And now he's twisting, and what does he do? He's putting a little bit of deception with a little bit of truth. What does come out of that? Whole lie. It's whole truth, nothing but the truth, right? Satan put the doubt in Eve's heart by twisting what the Lord has said. And this still happens. People and immature Christians, whether they're immature Christians or unbelievers, they pick and choose what the Word of God says, portion of here, portion of there, to justify their carnal behavior. Once they start to ignore the total and complete authority of the Word of God, there is no limit what the people can and willing to do to gratify their carnal desires. You agree?
Yeah.
Once you ignore this manual, there's no limit. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Verse 3 is a, notice verse 3 is a bridge verse for the rest of the chapter, between verse 2 and the rest of chapters. Moses had no problem with the pride. The one who actually had a problem with the pride were who? Aaron and Miriam. One can wonder how the humble man could possibly call himself most humble man on the face of the earth. Of course, we know the book of Numbers is written by who? Moses. So how can he call himself the most humblest man? Most humble man. Some scholars believe that this portion was inserted by Joshua, who knew Moses very well. But this, in my opinion, I said it was written by Moses. How do I take it? It's not a problem because the whole scripture, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if God chooses to say, okay, write this, and Moses was the most humble man in the face, on the face of earth, and Moses was thinking, say what? You want me to write that? He said, yeah, write it, boy. What can you do? If you remember, if you remember the 40 years, the first 40 years of Moses' life as an Egyptian prince, he was in the next lineage of the Pharaoh of Egypt. It's like when America was a superpower during the Ronald Reagan time. Not now. Nowadays, the United States become an apologizing nation to everyone. Anyway, it's like a Ronald Reagan becoming the next president of the United States right after Ronald Reagan. That kind of superpower during that time. During that time, Moses was not a humble man. When did he learn to be humble? I believe that when he was taken out to the Midian desert, when there was nobody except woolly creatures in front of him, they were not even his animals. It was his father-in-law's. For 40 years, God chiseled him. There was a story, I don't know how true that is, I believe it is possible. Michelangelo and another person standing in front of this gigantic marble piece, unchiseled, nothing happened, just block of marble piece. And Michelangelo said, what a marvelous marble. And the other guy said, looked at it, said, yeah, it's a big chunk of marble. What do you see? He said, I see David. He said, how do you see David? He said, I'll just take away that is not belong to him. And he started to chisel away all the things that does not belong to that beautiful statue of David. And now we have that beautiful statue in Rome. That's what God does. One of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer, said this. I'm sure you heard this. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he hurt him deeply. You may have seen it as, it is doubtful whether God can use a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. You see, our waiting time is the time of character building for good or for bad. What am I talking about? If we are submissive to the Lord during this time, we learn to be more like Him. We learn to have a more godly character that the Lord wants us to have. If we fight against God's will, we become distorted, mean, and jealous, and grouch people who constantly fight against God's will as if they can even win the fight against Him. Can we win fight against Him? No. Changing the quick subject here, nepotism is not a very good idea. In case you don't know what the meaning of nepotism is, giving the authority to the relatives. It's not a good idea unless the Lord is behind. Whether you have a profit or non-profit organization or business, it is best in your own interest to stay far away from having your family members and relatives having important position in your organization. It doesn't look good to the peoples in your organization. Also, IRS will have a field day with you once they do the auditing. I've seen many Christian ministries put their wives and their children in the board of director position. First of all, if it's a church, no offense to the lady, according to Bible, women do not be qualified, they are not qualified to be in the position of the elders, the board of directors. I know it's not very 20th century, 21st century like, and I really don't care about politically correct concept. Listen, ministry is not a kingdom. It's not something you can inherit from the father to son. It's not passing the scepter from family from the daddy to the son and to the grandson. It is the Lord who appoints one of His choice people, not by man. You will never, I promise you, will never see my wife Karen or my daughter or my son-in-law becoming the board of director in our church or assistant pastors. Forget it, Karen. You're not getting it. Verse 4. Then suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down from in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Many of the God's judgments are long in coming because He is so merciful to give us a tremendous opportunities after opportunities to so that we can repent from our sins, at least in human perspective, but not in this case. His judgment was rather quick. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Miriam and Aaron was just kind of pushing their chest out. Okay, God called us, all three of us, and He even called two of us to step forward, front and center. We are going to get knighted by God with the sword. And they're thinking that, okay, finally Moses' dictatorial day is over and he cannot be so prideful anymore. We are going to have the same kind of equal opportunity here. God heard their words and saw the evil motives. God saw the evil motives in their heart and acted swiftly lest their sins spread among the people, because when the leader sins, the consequences can be disastrous. You agree?
Yes.
It's not just anybody. When the leaders sin, it affects many. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, please. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so from here, probably Miriam Aaron is thinking, doesn't sound so good. Verse 7, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, not in the dark, saying, He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. Why is Moses so special? While the other prophets were getting visions and dreams, but the Moses has a special privilege. He got to talk to God face to face. And I know some of you think, hold on, time out, it's not right. Because in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, God said, if you see my face, you will be a dead meat. Go there, please, Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 20. But he said, the Lord spoke, speaking to him, because Moses asked, can I see you? And then he said, show me your glory. And then, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So what did he do? He put Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered him with his hand. He just passed by him. Moses saw the glory. Afterglow. That's where we get the word afterglow. And passed by him, there's a glory left over, kind of trail of it. And he saw that that was awesome. So how can God speak to Moses face to face? Face to face is a figure of speech here, telling of a great unhindered intimacy. Moses' face was not literally in front of the literal face of God. Rather, he did enjoy direct, intimate conversation with the Lord. Not in vision, not in dreams. You with me?
Yeah.
Then you may wonder, how can I come up with this saying that, well, it was a figure of speech. And you're wondering, do you have a verse to back it up? Of course I do. Verse 11, in same chapters, chapter 33, verse 11, please. So the Lord spoke to Moses, what does it say? Face to face. As a friend, as a man speak to his friend, and he would return to his camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Miriam and Aaron wanted to have the authority and the popularity of Moses, but they did not want to have a responsibility what Moses had. When they were standing against Moses, they were standing against one who gave them authority to Moses. It's not a very healthy idea to stand against God. Trust me. I tried it. It was not a pretty sight. Put yourself in the Miriam and the Aaron's sandal at this moment. You and Miriam and Aaron thought, oh yeah, we are going to get authority and we're going to get the popularity, we're going to get recognition from the people because God's going to anoint us. And then it was not the case. And God took off. And there is an eerie and very, very uncomfortable silence for a short time. They were standing there looking at each other and like, now what? Probably Aaron, who is a kind of weak-minded person in this case, kind of looking at Miriam, what did you pull me into? Verse 10. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, I'm sure by now he's crying and screaming at the same time. Oh my Lord, please do not lay these sins on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he came out of his mother's womb. You see, the leprosy is a disease, a bodily decay. and corruption. It was considered to be the walking death. And Miriam had a seriously advanced case of the leprosy instantly. At this moment, God caused her body to reflect her heart. Corruption. I'm so glad that the Lord no longer deal with us, our pride and our jealousy, with the leprosy immediately now. If that's the case, every one of us would be left in leper in this world. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Aaron seemed like he was the man easily swayed. Mm-hmm. He was swayed by the crowd to build this idol. And he came up with the lamest excuse. That should be recorded in the Guinness World Records. You remember, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, while Moses went to Mount Sinai and he was there 40 days and 40 nights, people were antsy and they said, well, make us a god. And Aaron told them, well, bring all the golds. And he dumped them all in this blaze and make it into liquid gold, and he fashioned it into the cap. And when Moses came on him, and he said, well, I threw the gold in the blazer, and it just popped out. This cap came out. Wow, that's a good concept.
Like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Boom, exactly. It happened. And then he was swayed by Miriam. And now, he is swayed back to Moses. All of a sudden, he is becoming a humble person. Verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her. Now Moses is interceding here. O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. Verse 15, so the Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Until now, Moses did not say one word. And he didn't challenge the Miriam or Aaron. He just left everything in the hands of God to vindicate him. It is so important when a leader is accused in a petty, false, or self-motivated charge, the best thing to do is to ignore them. Pray to the Lord to take care of them according to His will and continue in His work as he was called to do by the Lord. Is it easy? You kidding me? No. Do you get vindicated quickly? In most cases, no. But the Lord is with you during that difficult time and the silent time. Go to Isaiah 53:7, please. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet, who is he here?
Jesus,
exactly. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Jesus, if there is anyone who had reason to defend himself, it would be Jesus. But he chose not to. He was like a lamb before the slaughter. He did not defend himself. Now this prayer is a prayer of Moses for his accusers. It is no wonder why Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. While the Miriam cast out of the camp, people did not move. There is no sin that does not affect other people in our lives, one way or another. All of our sins affect others. It is a serious thing to be the spiritual leader because the greater honor, the greater responsibility. It is also a serious thing to try to go after the authority God has given to others. Last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. It reads, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses." It does not say two or three gossipers, correct? Or second-hand person. Yeah, so the pss, pss, pss doesn't work. Or somebody said, I read it from an internet email. No, that doesn't count. Three applications. Number one, pride is one of the main reasons for the jealousy. Number two, when a leader is accused with a petty, false, and self-motivated charges, best thing to do is ignore them. You know, it's not just the leaders, everyone in this room. Let me say, when a Christian is accused with a petty, false, and self-motivated charges, best thing to do is ignore them and pray to the Lord to take care of them according to His will. Continuing His work as He is called to do by the Lord. I'm not talking about when somebody is falsely accusing you in a legal system. That's not the one I'm talking about. Third application. The rebellious sinner is always a cause of holding back the progress of God's people. Don't ever think that your sin does not affect others. And especially if I think everyone in this room are involved with the ministry in our church in one shape or form or another. If you get into the sin, it will affect the rest of church a lot. You with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's now stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let us take this into our heart. Let us not be jealous of the fellow believers because you call us to be a different part of the body of Jesus Christ. Let us remember that we are only responsible for what we do to you. Everyone is equal in your eyes. And let us be the one who do it faithfully and continuously until you call us home. And then we'll hear that wonderful word from you. Well done and good and faithful servant. That is our best reward we will ever receive. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.